Back at it again, IOU Redemption Podcast. Need you to turn up your speakers. Big speaker.
And your boy G White, man. Let's get it.
Coming at you with a new episode. This yeah. episode. What you say about this episode? You're going to have to take the gloves off?
Yeah, you're going to take the gloves off a little bit. You know, you got to do that every now and again. The message can't be delivered the same way. Can't have the same delivery. That way everybody get an understanding. That way you're able to reach multiple audiences. And for this specific audience and for the people that actually that it's going to hit to, you gotta kind of say some hard truths and you got to take some gloves off. That's the only way we're going to improve. That's the only way we're going to improve. Because sometimes if you water stuff down too much, they'll miss the message. If you water it down too much, use too many, you know, dancing around the bush, you know what I'm saying? The message get misconstrued.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes you got to be bluntfully straight to that point so that we ain't no misunderstanding. So I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Let's get right into it then. IOU moment.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll go first. Or it doesn't matter, but you went first last time, so I'll go first. But here's my IOU moment. Yes, I seen yours, but it's just hand to hand.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's from out the good book, Matthew 5:16. So I had this particular scripture come to me in the dream. This and along with several other scriptures that were solely based on basically God was getting ready to bless me. Mm-hmm. And like a month before I got the blessing, like a major blessing financially.
Mm-hmm.
Month before I got it.
Boy got his increase.
Gotta keep it on the low now. So listen, this particular scripture along with several others came to me in a dream. And it was like, so I get up and read the Bible every morning. Mm-hmm. And I had already read this scripture and I highlighted it in my Bible. I did everything right. So I had the material there. But I went to sleep one night and I had a dream. And all is because it's weird. You never remember things in your dream. You know that, right? Like, you seldomly remember things.
Right. Why? It don't make sense when you're trying to read. Yeah, when you're trying to revisit, it don't make sense. It'd be broken up. You can't
broken
really,
up.
Yeah.
Listen, I woke up and God was in my, like head. When I went to read that following morning,
mm-hmm.
I remembered Matthew. I was like, it's the book of Matthew. Like, what is this? What are you telling me, God? I go to the book of Matthew every single, I have read these scriptures like months before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every single scripture that I highlighted was a direct reflection of the blessing that I was receiving. It was about this right here. Cause sometimes we always talk and we say, man, we try to keep be humble and not like being so boastful or brag, make it seem like we're bragging on ourselves, but
absolutely,
you gotta let your light shine.
Absolutely.
You gotta let your light shine and show people the better way of doing things. Show people that yes, you can do things in a great way and give the glory to God when you actually do it. Because now we want them to see if this guy did it and he's doing that, he's that in connection with God. I need to do the same thing. He's gonna bless me the same way. This is why it's so important. So it was this scripture. It was also a scripture about giving to those in need. Not celebrating, you know, like if you give to the poor, don't be out with trumpets celebrating, saying you did this, you did that. I did. No. Be obedient. Do what you're supposed to do and let your light shine. So that's what I got for the people today. That's what I owe you. Let your light shine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And that definitely goes right into mine.
Yes, sir.
Mine, I put never dim your light, right? And that's something I've always told myself, and I had to learn to tell myself. And it's a practice that a lot of the greats get to understand. And I'm learning that, and I'm a student of it. Because at times you could dim your light and do a disservice to yourself, do a disservice to the people that look up to you, do a disservice to your community. Yeah. So what I mean specifically too is like, okay, so you acquire some skills, some knowledge, right, for yourself.
Yeah.
You doing yourself a disservice when you're in rooms where you have to cower, when you have to be, you know, you got to dummy down in conversations, or, you know, not really show who you truly are. And a lot of people are guilty of it. I was guilty of it early on because I'm feeling bad for other people or different things of that nature, or trying to create comfort for them, and which creates discomfort for me. Right.
Yep.
I failed playing other people's games. Right. So like anything I ever want to do, I want to be the best at what I do. I don't know how to be a C student. Right.
Yeah.
Because some people can be C students and they can.
I mean, you should be one. Everybody can.
Right. They can't. And some people can play that game. I can't play that game. If we're talking on the job, I'll get fired trying to be a C student. Yeah. We talk about just as a, because that's not my game. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I can't do that.
Yeah.
So what I'm telling people is never dim your light. Don't dim your light for anybody. Stay clear of people. Stay clear of rooms where you have to dim your light.
Yeah.
You understand? When you got to dummy yourself down, them are not your people. If you have to be around them and play a lesser role, if you have to dummy down, right? Play that type of game. Or in those rooms where you have to not speak because you are afraid of once you get to talking, what that's going to look like or whatever. That's showing you. That's God showing you. Yeah. This ain't where you need to be. That's not who you need to be around. You understand what I'm saying? If you can't speak loud, proud, and be exactly who you are because you're trying to make somebody else feel comfortable, no, that's crap. You've built yourself up. You've added skills to yourself. You've transformed and evolved in certain ways that you shouldn't have to hide from anybody.
Yeah.
And you do it unapologetically. So no matter what any of those rooms you in, that's my IOU for the people. Don't dim your light for anybody. Like you said, let it shine bright. And if you feel like you got to do that around people or in certain rooms, there you go, right there.
Yep.
You're not supposed to be communicating with those particular people, and you probably, that room is too small for you. You done outgrew that room, whatever that room is, if you got to dim down, dummy down.
Reading, you understand what I mean? Lines too.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. So you already feel that discomfort. That's showing you right there. You done outgrew that situation. You done outgrew that person. You done outgrew that room, that role, whatever that is, because I keep having to dim my light to make somebody else feel better.
And you're doing a disservice to the Lord by doing that too.
Come on now.
Dim your light.
Right. He gave you that gift for you to do what? Sit there like that? Right. To shine. But you're sitting there quiet trying to make me or somebody else feel comfortable. You don't need to be around me if you can't talk. If you can't express your feelings and your thoughts, or you know what I'm saying? You got to have a silly, low level conversation when you done already elevated because I can't keep up. Now, what I'm saying, I'm not telling people not to be able to code switch. That's a whole nother, which we're good at doing that. You understand what I'm saying? We could talk based upon the situation. I can speak to everyone. I'm versatile in my conversation, in my vernacular, where I can reach multiple audiences. That's not even what I'm talking about. But I know somebody might out there might say that to that. I could talk to anybody. But what I'm saying is, on a professional level or development level, don't dim your light for anybody. When you're on this road to success, when you're on this road to achievement, when you're trying to better yourself, when you're talking about your career, when you're talking about your social circles, whatever else, right? So keep that in mind. Don't dim your light. That's what we got for the people, bro.
Let's go.
Let's get into it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, we finna get into it, bro.
Yeah, this one gonna be real interesting. Real interesting.
So like you like to say, turn up your speakers. I'm gonna tell you, turn up your speakers, open your mind. Turn up your speakers and open your mind. Open your mind. You know what I'm
talking about? This at the bottom.
Yeah. The African American dream. You ain't never seen that.
American dream.
We have never seen that.
Let me preface this. So
yeah.
Notice we stressing the African American dream. We didn't say the American dream, which we'll speak on the differences between the two. And this is what this topic is about, because there is a difference between the American dream and the African American dream. And just so you guys know, this topic is not about the traditional way of thinking that you may be thinking. We're talking about of the American dream. We're not talking about that. So sit tight.
Oh, most definitely. Like I say, everybody talk about the American dream. It's an old buzzword.
Give a definition of it real quick.
I mean, if I had to say the American dream, I'll give examples. You know what I'm saying?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, the American dream is, you know, raising a family, living in a nice community.
Go to college, graduate.
Go to college, graduate, you know, own a business, whatever. You know, just kind of, you know, get you a piece of land, whatever. Like, you know, that's the American dream, right?
Yep.
That's the, you ever seen Pleasantville?
Yeah.
That's like Pleasantville. That's
white picket fence and all of that.
Right, white picket fence and all that. Nobody's committing sins. Nobody's doing like that's Pleasantville, bro. Like, so, okay, cool.
It's gonna be powerful right here.
Right, but we rarely talk about the African American dream because that's a that's within that. But people are scared to talk about that. People are so nervous to tell the truth. That's okay to say.
Break the internet with this one.
It's an African American dream within that dream, because we've always had to dream a little bit different because our situation is different. It's always been different. You understand what I'm saying? So how are we going to dream the same exact way when we have cultural differences? We have had setbacks in the cultures. Do you understand what I'm saying? We've had disadvantages in the cultures. Our dream has been altered from the very beginning. And that's facts. That's bigger than you and me. That's history, right? For the educators, get in a book. That's history. So I'm like, you know what? Let's talk about the African-American dream, because I've never heard anybody talk about it in this form, in this context, because it's not that lack of knowledge. Maybe some people don't know how to articulate it and break it down. Maybe they're worried about the backlash behind it, because any truth, we feel like there's backlash behind truth, right? Like, because historically it is. But you know what? Hey, I don't know no other way, and I don't want to do no disservice to our people, our audience. And when I say our people, I don't even mean just black people.
No, I'm talking about absolutely not.
I'm talking about people that live in the real world, that come from a real place, people that understand the hard truths and that want to be better than the people I consider my people as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? People that aren't scared to dance around certain stuff, that don't want to mask certain things, that they know that that's a real thing that's happening. They understand the reality of cultural differences and that there are some advantages and disadvantages based upon skin color or whatever else to this day. You know what I'm saying? I have those intelligent conversations with people of all colors. You know what I mean? So I consider them my people as well. You know what I'm saying? But the closed-minded individuals, the ones who don't want to hear it, most of the stuff that we end up talking about, you think we really want to talk about a disadvantage? I don't want to talk about a disadvantage, but it's there, right? And we just learn how to navigate it, how to move through it, you know what I'm saying, and figure out our way in it. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to jumping into it, bro. Let's get into it, man. Let's start it from the top. Let's start it.
Barack Obama.
Right. with the African American dream. And I'm going to take off on it first.
Yeah.
We talk about hope. I would say that our people have had to have a lot of hope. We've had to dream our way through a lot of circumstances, right? Before it came into fruition, whatever we've always, as a people, have been striving for, we had to hope, pray, dream, have faith in it, right? So some of the things that I think that we have a lot of hope in, that we put our hope in as African-Americans in this African-American dream is better days. We've always, like I just said, prayed for better days. Because historically, we're always at a disadvantage and we're always going through something. So we're just praying for better days, right? So if you grew up poor, you hoping for better days, that is not like this forever. If you grew up not having certain things, you grew up in certain environments where it may have been violent, or you know, you grew up in the hood, you hoping for days where they're better, where you can move into a different community, or you know, or to have something of yourself. So I would say with hope, achieving more than the previous generation.
Facts.
The hope.
Facts.
Most of us are just hoping we do better than our mamas and them, our mamas and daddies and them. And once a lot of us, the majority, achieve that, a lot of us are okay with just that. Hey, I'm doing better than my mama and them ever have. The dream can't even be that big to be like, okay, I want to be the best in the world. We measure ourselves based upon our surroundings, that generation right there, or our neighborhood, or our social circle. And as long as we do better than what that just is, that right there, most of us as African Americans are cool with just that.
Now, I bet you some people be like, no, but without being unconscious to it, to understand that's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You slept in you was in a house where you didn't have your own room. So now you want to make sure you got your own room. You don't care if it's in a studio apartment. You got your own space.
I got my own room. I'm good.
Not knowing that you're supposed to be getting to it, you can do a lot more with your talent.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. So we hope it. And that's the American dream. Another thing with the American dream and the hope, we want to be seen. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is, of course, anybody that has sight can see you, like you're a person, right? But no, we want to be seen and we want to be valued.
Yeah.
A lot of people misunderstand us as African Americans in the way we talk, the way we dress, our jewelry, the vehicles we drive. They like, you know, they don't understand why sometimes we go for the big brands. Yeah. Why we go for certain things. And they have no idea that we want to be seen when we get in these rooms. We want to be valued. We want to be respected in these rooms because we already naturally have things stacked against us, right? So when we get there, we want to let you know we here. I'm in the room. That's why you'll see the Mercedes Benz. That's a part of why you will see the Mercedes Benz, the $80,000 car or truck outside of the apartment. And I ain't talking about the downtown condo, like the expensive apartment. I'm talking like the regular middle class, whatever that range is, apartment. You'll see that $80,000 car sitting out there. Because whoever that person is, most of the time when they leave there, they want you to know I'm there. When they pull up to their jobs in them parking lots, they want to be valued like they're...
I'm getting money too.
Right. I'm getting money too. They want to show their counterparts, their white counterparts or whoever else, like, hey, I'm here too. I'm getting money too.
Being at the bottom,
right? Because they know, respect. Right? Because they know, not only did we have to be overqualified to even be in some of those rooms to apply for some of those jobs or to whatever else, we can't even wear the same type of things because it get taken differently. Like I told you before, I better not show up to the job. I dare not skip. Better not. I dare not show up without being groomed. Clothes ironed, looking good. You understand what I'm saying? You're not going to see me scruffy. You're not going to see me not to par, not put together. Do you understand what I'm saying? Car stay clean. Everything is clean. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I'm already doubted. I'm already chip stacked against me. Yep. I'm already so
dead I'm on arrival. Point.
I'm dead on. So I'm always on point, bro. I don't take days off. I'm sharp. Do you understand what I'm saying? At all times. And a lot of us have to be. And a lot of people don't understand that. So another part of that too, a lot of African Americans, we fight to this day to be compensated equally. Financially, on the job, to be compensated equally. I was at a conference a couple days ago I was telling you about, and there was a great speaker, and he was a white man. And he made a lot of people uncomfortable in the room when he said this. And I didn't know where I didn't see this coming, to be honest with you. But I appreciate it because it came from him. So it made people uncomfortable and they had to listen. So he got up there. He started talking about the advantages that he's had as a white man by just being white. He pulled out some stats and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he basically said this. He basically said that the majority, the average white person with a high school diploma will almost make double than African-Americans or Latinos that have 4-year degrees over the course of their lives. You can hear a pin drop. People got uncomfortable when he got to saying that. I'm like
this.
Right. he's where the facts are. That's a fact. I've seen it, right? I've seen it from a different perspective in being in corporate America, because it's not so, you know, just being in leadership and things in like the realms that I've been in, it's not degree based, right? Mm-hmm. It's not degree based. It's not degree specific. Like we talked about, you're an engineer. If you ever wanted to go to the highest portion of engineering, you have to get a professional engineering license. You have to.
Yep.
A doctor has to do certain things in order to become a certain type of doctor, or to be able to do certain type of procedures. It doesn't matter how cool that person is, how good they work with others, what their customer service looks like. No, you got to have certain credentials and trainings to be qualified to do certain things in certain realms. So that's my life. So I've seen people go to the tip top of some of these companies with a high school diploma. None of them looked like me or you.
Mm-mm. It doesn't happen. You ain't no way.
They don't make it that high with those bare minimum requirements. We can get the job, and I've seen people go up to even a VP level. Not with a high school diploma, though. At some way along that path for them to get to where they got to, bro, they've had to go get some formal education. They've had to go get a degree, right? So that's a real thing to this day. A lot of people think, oh, this ain't the 60s. This ain't the 70s. You know, I see black people doing really well. I see them driving fancy cars. I see them living in a nice neighborhood. You know, I got a black neighbor or whatever. But guess what? I guarantee you, most of that African-American male or female, or that Latino, had to be overqualified to even apply for that job, to be considered for that job. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We can't get through with the bare minimum. So that's a real thing when we talk about the African-American dream. We're still, when we talk about hope, with the better days, to achieving more than the previous generation, to be seen, to be valued, and to be compensated equally. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I could go on that all day, but I want to give you a chance to kind of talk about it as well, and some things that you've dealt with on it.
Yeah, absolutely. So hope, and this is what I'll give you the definition of hope. I'll give you an example first, but like yesterday, as I told y'all, this is what I do. I get up and I'll read my materials. Mm-hmm. But after I finish working out and everything, I put on clothes like I'm going to an office. So I have a collared shirt on, I have slacks on, and shoes. Like, I don't, if I work from home, I don't just get out PJs and, no, I got to come correct because I told you that my kids are watching. So they grow up. I don't want them to think that that's okay to just be getting up and be on the couch lazy in your pajamas working on a computer. Now I got to come correct. Like, this is my office. So I got to come here like ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so like one of the days I had a business meeting. I didn't know, but I had a business meeting and you have to go to the place and I'm already dressed, so I'm good. Okay, see what I'm saying? You ready? But like yesterday, Ari came home. She's like, "Why do you have on church clothes?" she's like, "Why you have on a suit?" I was like, yeah. "And I didn't even have on a blazer. I just had on a nice shirt, collared shirt, slacks. My button was all the way to the top. Like I was wearing a tie, but I wasn't wearing a tie." I was like, "Ari, what are you talking about? I got on regular clothes." Listen to what I just said. Regular clothes.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, "No. You're dressed up." I was like, "Well, you know how I do. Like, gotta go to work." But see, that's what I'm teaching them. So what I think about is hope is the definition of this is that when I go outside and I go to the grocery store, when I go to sit down to eat, I have hope that the way I'm presenting myself will allow me to be respected. Will allow me to be accepted in different places. Will allow me to show other people they can be comfortable around me. Right. I want to be in a sense in a space where people feel valued for having me in the same room as them.
Mm-hmm.
That's my hope. And that's the American dream, the part of the hope that I think Barack Obama had. I think that he had hope that it wasn't just hope that he was going to win. It's hope that him being of that stature, of that position and leadership, that the world can now look at every single minority as a sign of respect. Like they can lead too. They can show the world how to do better things. They can show people how to live legitimately. They can do things at an all-time high level. You know, it's too many times we have this stigma put on us as African Americans that we just walking around in hoodies and doing no good. We just got dreads and we up to no good. We only known for showing up to the club early and spending all our money on 300% markup bottles, standing on tables looking like animals. That's how they look at us, man. And
yes.
I think that's what we mean by take the gloves off is that when we're doing these, just like I told you the last time you was here, I said, I'm not dressing like us no more because right. And then the video before that, I said I was going to wear my chains in front of the people. So listen to what I'm trying to say. I'm fighting this because, listen, I said I want to wear my chains in front of the business people so that when they do speak to me, they can get my full vernacular and see how I can conduct myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then when I'm around my people, I want to dress proper because I want to show them stop dressing like that, dress like me. It's okay. You can still code switch. Like you can still do two things.
Yes, you can do both. Like
you can do both.
For instance, when they see us, they're gonna see us wear multiple things. Like the other day, I had on a bow tie, whatever else like that. You see me today, I got on a Nike Tech.
Yeah.
That's how it really goes. That's my world. You understand what I'm saying? I was coming
and it shouldn't change. It shouldn't change who you are about what you're doing.
No, I'm the same person in all of it. You might see me, like you say, with the chains on, with the jewels, whatever else. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna take my regular prescription glass on and put on the prescription Ray-Bans like I got on right now. That's okay. But guess what? We're trying to figure this out. You know what I'm saying? Because we're in these rooms, like you said, where we're there but not seen or valued, right?
You can see but don't see. So we gotta do certain things.
You can see but don't see. Right, exactly. And we get put into this box. That's why the African-American dream is different because we got to move very strategic.
Yeah.
You ever really, and I know you have, but it's just for other people out there too, have a conversation with someone from a different race, right? And the things that you thought are normal, so you're just talking about them, maybe the way you came up, some of the stuff you faced against or, you know, whatever it was up against or whatever, you think that that's normal because that's all you know, right? Until you get to talking to somebody else and they like, I ain't never had to worry about that. I don't know what you're talking about. You get what I'm saying? Because depending on the environment that you were raised up in or the color of your skin, you are taught different things, especially us as black. When we were black little boys, there was things that we were taught to do and not to do, to say and not to say.
Yeah.
In order to not get in trouble, to not, you know, we've been groomed for a long time, but now as grown men, you're walking to other grown men of other cultures who haven't been groomed the same way. They talk and say whatever they want to say. They feel and they just, you know what I'm saying? They're very free spirited and they're just entitled to say whatever they want to say and do whatever they want to do and don't have any parameters around their thoughts, conversations, or what offends people or not. You know what I mean? But that's not new to us. That's not new to us. We literally were raised to watch your mouth. Don't say that. You know what I mean? Don't do that. If you get pulled over, do this. Don't do that. Do this. Do that. Like we're that's normal for us. That's why we actually are really good in the professional world. We talk about corporate America because we already know from a little kid we can't just walk around saying what we want to say or do we want to do. Somebody been blew our heads off.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've been dead a long time ago running your mouth a little too much.
Yep.
So when you run into the corporate America, you meet people maybe from a different background that come up a little different and they just free spirit and talking how they want to and offending everybody in the room. I'm thinking, how did you get to this age talking like that? Well, the African-American dream and the American dream is completely different. The freedom of speech is a little different depending on the community, depending on who you are. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I know I can speak freely. But I also know that I'm really being held accountable for everything that I say at all times.
Yeah.
And it can be detrimental. I say the wrong thing, I can lose my life. I say the wrong thing to this day, I still can lose my freedom. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've seen it, man. So when we talk about that was hope, you know what I mean? Let's switch it just a little bit. Let's talk about the future.
Yeah. So the future, the second point is is future. So the first point was hope. The second point is future. So we talking about the African-American dream.
Mm-hmm.
In my point of view, which I'll give you what I'm thinking about future is now we've been conditioned as young kids into young adults, into adults to understand what our sense of hope is. Our sense of hope is the reason why you might see somebody with a big Birkin or a big Gucci bag or something, because they want you to say, look, take me seriously. Like, I'm doing what I got to do. I'm a responsible person. I can get these things that everybody else has. Mm-hmm. When we've gotten to that point now, if you've been to that point and you've been able to been responsible enough to get you a nice house, get you a nice car, you might not have a family, but you're working on it, or you might be engaged now. You're doing all the things right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're at the point where we're talking about future. And this is what comes to my mind is, for my future, every single day I pick myself up out of my bed, I'm focused on, if I go outside, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
If I get in my car that I just paid for, that I just worked hard for, that I want to show people, I want to, people buy cars, they want to pull up to the light and be like, yeah, I'm here. Yeah, look, like that's a thing. But if I pull up to the light and I just don't happen to tail light missing that just went out, if I get pulled over, my future is on my mind. And everybody know where I'm going to go with this, but and I'm not going to go into it. But I'm just telling you that as African-Americans, a part of our African-American dream is to not get killed on these streets.
Mm-hmm.
That is the bottom line. It's just, we can't. You wonder why, like me and you talk about, and I'm sure you'll mention it, but like one of our favorite places to be is the house, in the backyard or somewhere, because mm-hmm. we're controlling that environment. We minimize the chances of something happening to us because we're in our backyard. And so that's what we got to think about.
You want to have a good time with me? You want to see me? You want to turn up with me? You really want to get lit with your wife? You're going to have to be close to me. And it's going to be at my house. It's going to be in an environment like that. You're going to get a different version of me when we're out in public places.
Yeah.
Then you will when I'm in my comfort zone, when I'm around fat people I consider family or close friends.
Yeah.
And we at somebody's house, you know what I'm saying? Or I'm at that point. We at that point. You understand what I'm saying? I understand that. When I'm minimizing risk, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other point, because I wanted to steal all of them, I'm just focusing on these two because it's so near and dear to me. So the first one is me going outside and something happening to me. Because we get it from all sides, just because we black and we fight amongst our own people. We go somewhere, like if we want to go to the, like Cam Newton said, the spots. I still like to go to the spots that, you know, our people in there is like kind of rowdy and like I like that. I like vibing with my people. But that same environment, as we said before, there sometimes aren't really the best environments for us because we get in a scuffle, anything might happen because we act in our anger differently. Like somebody's probably going to get shot or something. Yeah. I got to worry about that. I got to worry about certain police officers stopping me. And with that aggression, I got to worry about just racism in general. And then the last point I'm going to make about this is that now I done been through that. Now my future, as I said before, the hope was to do everything right as a responsible adult. Now I got a family. I got two boys. Well, guess what? I'm waking up off the pillow now thinking about myself, but also thinking about my two boys.
Mm-hmm.
They got to go out here and deal with the same stuff that I done dealt with however many years ago. And I got to coach them and have them understand how to do things correctly, how to make other people feel comfortable around them.
Yep.
That's our future.
You have to. And the people that don't, this is crazy. If you got a black son, you got a black little boy, and you don't have those conversations with them, you're doing them a disservice. I don't care. Listen. Okay. I don't care if, as parents, I don't care if we got to billionaire status, bro.
It don't matter. That already happened to Dwayne Wade now.
Right. You think that because y'all got money that you raise these kids up with this false narrative that they don't have to deal with this stuff no more because we got money in the bank. Then that kid grows up thinking that that it's an equal playing field. Life is going to show your kids what life going to do, whether you want it to or not. There's things you fail to prepare your kids with. Life going to show them, but it's going to show them a little harsher. You understand what I'm saying? It's really going to take the gloves off. So you're doing them a disservice by lying to them, making them feel like, oh, because we're here. We're not like your cousins in the hood. So, you know, you don't have to. They still got to worry about it. And they're going to find out because they may grow up in a Beverly Hills or something, right? Where the demographic is maybe Caucasian. And they grow up thinking like, hey, man, I'm hanging with all these people. I get the same rights as them, whatever. Let that car get pulled over. And he in the car or she in the car. You're going to get treated. You might get. Chances are you might get treated differently than everybody else in that car. We see it all the time.
Facts.
On social media. We see it. We see kids in black and brown boys and girls in these beautiful neighborhoods, manicured lawns and everything, face down on the ground, getting slammed. Kids that you know ain't nothing hood about them. They coming from a pool party up the way with somebody that they probably done went to school with since grade school. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you're going to get handled different when it's crunch time. Everybody want to be black till it's time to be black because
everybody want to be black until it's time to be black. And I want this to make this statement. Again, I have family members that are law enforcement. This conversation we just talking about, it's not about law enforcement.
No.
It's plenty of. I can give you an example how when I was little, me and my mama went out to breakfast, and a guy at the table, racist, he got up. This is no lie. He got up from his table, came to our table, and was like, "You people don't belong here. Go back to where you came from." In Hammond. So this happened in Hammond on Holman Avenue at a breakfast restaurant. So it ain't law enforcement. Just like, I hate when people do that. It's not just law enforcement.
It's a thing, right? And so while people dance away from the conversations, nothing gets better when you're doing that, right?
No.
So that's what this is. This is a conversation for the people that don't mind having conversation. That's why I said, turn your speakers up and open your mind. Yeah. Because if you're really thinking about and hearing what we're saying, you're able to dissect it the right way. You could take it the right way. Now, if you're closed-minded and a little ignorant, then you're going to take it for whatever you're going to take it for. But we're not even worried about that either, right?
Telling you the hopes in the future. That's what
and if we
want, think.
And if we ever want to get better, you got to be able to have conversations. You have to be able to talk.
Yeah.
Right. So when we talk about the future, like we said, the what a lot of people don't understand is this. We talk about the African-American dream. I'm going to talk about the African-American dream in the future part of it for Black men. Nobody on this earth, they try to. Nobody understands what it's like to be a Black man in America. Nobody does. The Black woman comes very close. Very close. But only a Black man know what a Black man deals with. Fact. I find so much grace, bro, and I'm so grateful every day I'm able to come home. At the end of the day, whatever my day look like, to come home, put my head on my pillow. Because as Black men, we know we have to navigate in this world from, like you say, crooked police officers, bad police, right? Not all bad police. There are bad police officers. Stats out there. Other police officers know that they have bad police.
And they're great police officers.
That they have to clean up. Right. I'm just talking about the bad ones.
Yeah.
So we talk about bad police officers who are threatened by our skin, who will treat us in a way to where, you know, even when we are 100% legal, we feel like at the we get pulled over that we might die.
Because when we get pulled over, they ask us, what do you do for a living? You own this car?
What do you do for a living? Is this your vehicle? Yeah. All these weird questions. Where's the drugs?
Yeah, they ask. Listen, I've had this happen before where they get out the car. I need to search the car. Where's the weed? Where's the weed? What are you talking about?
We went back home. Me and you went back home. You had your BMW. I remember when we was going to see your Uncle Robert and them, and we got pulled over right over there on A Street. And you had your BMW, and that police officer pulled us over. He was asking you what you do for a living. He was asking us where the weed at and all this stuff. Like, no way you run around asking everybody them same questions.
No way.
No way they go to Munster, Crown Point, some of these predominantly, you know, white areas, and you're pulling over people and asking them what they do for a living and where the weed at. You don't even smell weed. You get what I'm saying? You're like, you have no probable cause to ask that type of question besides us.
I'm Black.
Right. So, you know, things of that nature. Try not to get in a situation with police officers or even people in our community. That's what I'm talking about.
In our own community.
Somebody that may find me like a threat, you know what I'm saying, or whatever else. If you're growing up in the hood or not even just the hood, just somebody in my community. Try not to die. As a Black man, every day I get up every day trying not to get killed, whether it's by a police officer or somebody from around the way. Simple, just like
and
that.
And make that distinction, though. Police officer, somebody, or some somebody other Black person
from killing. Around the way.
Yes.
I don't want to, hey, man, I ain't trying to, you know what I'm saying? I wake up every day trying not to die, trying not to get killed because it don't take much. So that's another part of the African-American dream. I will say that another shift in the gear a little bit is ownership. I feel like the African-American dream, most of us want to own something because the majority of us are born, live, and will die without owning anything.
That's why they used to say 40 acres and a mule.
Right. Most people are in situations of color where maybe your mom and dad may rent their house their entire life. All they've ever done is rent apartments, rent houses, whatever else. Okay? That's just facts. But most of us, when we talk about what the dream is, I feel like we want ownership.
Yeah.
But it doesn't come because of things that maybe lack of knowledge or commitment to that dream. Okay, so ownership, owning a house, owning land, owning a car. Most people of color that won't know what it's like to actually have that title. You just went from car loan. You've never owned a car. You've never had the title put up in the safe. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you breezing over a couple of things, man. I don't know if it's for the sake of time, but listen, let me bag you up a little bit. Okay.
What?
This is so true that most people have never even touched the title to their car.
No.
It's done past hands. You done went to the car lot, got this car, paid it down for 2 years. Now you hopped in a trade-in for a new car, and it just goes on and on. You don't even know what it's like to live with no car note. Don't you know it feels great? Man. Then you don't even understand that the hope of ownership, we talk about owning something. The reason why most minorities are in this rut of cycle, the rat race and the jobs is because we don't have nothing to own. Nobody from the generation is taking the time out to say, hey, let me set this up for the next generation. Let me own this land and let me get this off to my offsprings, right? Nobody's doing it. So we're in this mindset of like ownership. But that's, again, because we have hope that
it all ties together, and this is the African-American dream, right? This is specifically these conversations are things that we have with each other, and most people and other people out there never have to talk like that because they were born in situations where mommy and daddy own the land we live on. My grandparents own a bunch of land. We own all our cars. We have zero debt, whatever. We're talking about the African-American dream. We really have to have these conversations because go back to 4 or 5 episodes ago, we talk about being the first.
Yep.
We'd be a bit of, hey, man, I want to be the first person to get my house and buy a house. I want to be the first person to pay off all my credit cards, to own my car, to have the title to my vehicle. We want that. That's a part of our dreams because most of us, 9 times out of 10 of us, don't come from these long line of families of ownership where we just debt free. We own everything. We, you know what I'm saying? We got a lot going. We own everything around us. We own all this land. You know what I'm saying? So
look though, but that one time you said about the land. You said,
Yeah.
I just bought what'd you say? I just bought good piece of land.
Yeah. So there's a big difference. There's a big difference in the African American community. I really want y'all to listen to this. This is
you
real
play cool. The African American dream. I'll play the American. Hold on, dream.
No. I'm gonna break it down like this. I'm gonna break it down real quick, just like this. I'm gonna break it down real quick. And they're gonna get this. When we say as African Americans, for the majority, that we got a piece of land, look at what that looks like if you've ever been around your white counterparts or whatever, and what their definition of it is, right? We determine land based upon like, so if you grew up in an apartment, right? Or grew up with no yard at all. So as long as we got a backyard, that's a piece of land to us.
A fence.
Like a fence, like, you know what I'm saying?
Fence and backyard.
When they say they have a piece of land, they're talking acreage.
How many
they're
acres talking, you got?
They're talking 5, 10, 20 acres, 300 acres, stuff like that. The African American dream is just to be able to have a yard where our kids can play.
The land that came with the house you bought. That's we right. talking about. We got a piece of land. That right. might not even be a quarter of an acre. We talking about just the land. No,
right. It may be a couple hundred thousand feet. Yeah, a couple thousand feet.
The house is on.
That's it. We like, okay. And look, there's nothing wrong. I'm just saying. When you talk about the thought difference of it, there's a major difference. I've been humbled in a conversation with that, right? You get what I'm saying? Because you move into some of these rooms and you're talking and you know what I mean? And you don't know until you know. It's like, all right, well, and be proud of what you got. Now, make no mistake about it. Be proud of what you got. But I want people to understand by definition what the African-American dream is and the standards and just the difference in how people are set up and the definitions behind it. Because when they talk about they got some land or bought a piece of property, chances are, bro, they're talking about acreage. They're talking about money off the timber.
Paper you buying at Walmart for back to school and them notebooks, that's right. from they land.
Right. So a lady I work with, they got over 300 acres, okay? And she said when they tear down some of the trees, they sell the trees to different lumber yards or paper mills, right? So they don't just cut down the trees, you know what I'm saying, and whatever else. They pick it up and they pay them premium dollars for the trees that was already on their property. And guess what? Sweet. Yeah. They plant more trees.
No, listen.
They plant more trees to do it again.
I listen. When I worked at the steel mill in Indiana, I went to my supervisor's house that had acres, timber everywhere. He make more money from cutting down the trees than like his house is worth than anything on there. The timber on the land is worth more than anything. And he just cuts it down himself. go, he had a whole workshop where he go in and mill it, put it in the kiln. Like, he showed me the whole process. He making wood burning stoves. He making everything. He like, and that's what I'm trying to tell people. We sitting up here worried about, we'll put an $80,000 car in the driveway, do this and do that, but we'll walk right past this vacant lot that's got all mm-hmm. these trees and stuff on it. Oh, that's too much mm-hmm. to cut. Dang, dang, I don't want to cut that.
Listen, like you say, instead of getting a piece of property, we'd rather rent. We'd rather give it to somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Whatever else. That's when we talk about the African-American dream, man, and just the difference in it. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
No, just people gonna say when they see it, well, that ain't my dream. Yes, it is. You don't realize it. You don't realize it's something like hidden, unspoken. Like, you're not aiming to get a small, like a small yard or the thing.
No, because it's still about, because look, it's big to us. It's big to us. And what we compare to right now, right now, your backyard is bigger than the backyard you grew up with, correct?
Bro, my backyard is bigger than like three houses combined on my block on Sibley. More than that, like, it probably take up the whole 10 houses.
Bro,
like,
bro, my back, same thing, right? And so, like, to us, and to our standards, and I don't feel bad about it, I feel like I got a nice piece of property. I feel like my kids able to run back here, play whatever in my yard. You know what I'm saying? Whenever times we have to play basketball, you got trampoline, whatever else like that. But you have some of your other white counterparts or whatever, people that maybe come from a different walk of life. People that, you know what I'm saying? They come to your house
differently.
They were set up differently. They're going to tell you, you got a nice house. No doubt. I know I got a nice house. You can't tell me I don't. They're going to tell you that, but it's not going to be as wowing to them as it is when we come over, when people that look like us come over, because we know what that look like. You're like, oh man, this is dope. Whatever, like, you get what I'm saying? Because most of us weren't set up the same way, so we know what it takes to even get what we got now. You get what I'm saying?
Just trying to tell people, man, that
it's a
you difference. Have to understand there's a difference, and we're not telling you not to love yours. We're telling you that there is a gap between what the American dream is and what the African American dream is. And until you realize there's a gap,
how you gonna fix
you're it? Not gonna do better. That's right. All we're trying to get you to see. Until you realize that African American dream that you just realized because of what we're telling you, now you'll be able to work on things to make it better. And then, which leads into this,
bam,
achievement and professionalism.
Right. And when I think about the achievement, because that's a part of our African-American dream. Most of us, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's the person that's the most hood person on your block, the most ruthless criminal you know. That person has a dream. That person had a dream, whatever it was. They want to achieve something, right? And then let's talk about the people that want to go on to corporate America or just be good people in the community and carry themselves a certain way with a certain stature. That's where the professionalism kicks in. And by definition, we have our own definition of being what professional is or what we think it is, right? Yeah. What do we think when I think of achievement and professionalism? I think about when they tell us, you know, get out the hood, right?
Yep.
Get into a good environment. Don't go to jail, because let's stop right there.
Yeah, let me stop right there. So look, I was on a camping trip, right? And, you know, if you go camping, it's not many minorities there.
No, not at all.
So when you go there, they kind of look at you crazy, like, what are you doing here? How do you know how to do that? How do you get that truck, blah blah blah. So I'm sitting down and I'm the only one on the campsite, because the campsite didn't have no fire pits, so you had to bring your own. Well, just so happened I'm the only one who got something to light a fire. So me and my kids on our campsite, we got s'mores going. So kids go to sleep, then they come down, hey, can we sit with you guys? Sure. Let's talk. Let's hang out, you know? So a couple of Caucasian friends come over and they're sitting down. We having a good time talking. And he's like, so he got on this topic about jail. He went to jail and he's trying to explain something to me. He's like, yeah, you know, in jail.
He thought you could relate.
He's trying to relate to me. I hate when people do this. Don't judge me. He tries to, you know, in jail when they give you this. And I was like, no. He's like, no, you know when you go over here, you on this day they give you this. No,
nah, bro.
It's like, you never been to jail.
No, bro.
I ain't never been to jail. What? Why do you think I've been to jail? What? You never been to jail, man?
No.
And that's what we talking about, achievement. Because I achieved that. I never been to jail. And I don't plan on going to jail.
Right. But look, let's keep it a buck. Let's keep it a buck to the people. This is what people that really need to understand. Most of us, so me and you, never been to jail. But guess what? This 9 times out of 10 of us have been to jail.
Yeah.
And I would say, dang, man, I say 10 out of 10 black people. Until somebody proved me differently, somebody in our family has been to jail. Yeah. And that's, but look, I've talked to some of my white counterparts and some of them have never been to jail like us. And they don't know nobody that's been to jail. They don't hang around people that's been to jail. Ain't nobody in their family ever been to jail. And if they do go to jail, it ain't talked about and it ain't dang sure ain't celebrated. You understand what I'm saying?
Celebrated.
So most black people, another thing people don't understand is outside of getting killed and all that other stuff, we don't want to go to jail.
Achievements. That's one of our achievements.
That's an achievement. That's a trophy. I ain't never been to jail. I ain't never spent the night in a drunk tank. And I pray to God. And I carry myself to a point to where I don't want to. It's got to be something like over my kids or something. You understand what I'm saying?
People in the black African Americans, the dream, one of the dreams is, and I'm telling you, this is true, is to not go to jail, keep your kids out of jail, and keep your daughters out the strip club.
Trying to tell, keep her off the pole, keep her from doing the ceiling challenges and all that silly stuff that's out there.
Yeah.
Straight up. That's a real thing. You know what I mean? And then we talk about the professionalism. Like I said, you know, and me and you can speak to this because, like I said, we code switch. We think a lot. We talk a lot. We had to put in a lot of work to be able to talk in some of the rooms and articulate ourselves in certain ways or to switch up our dressing styles or to be able to do different dressing styles. Right.
Yeah.
Me and you have sent pictures to each other back and forth, like when we was coming up, like, and you could just see the growth in the pictures. You ain't even got to hear nothing from us. You can see the growth in the pictures. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. In a certain way. But I'm going to say something. I will say this before we get off of it. When we talk about achievement and professionalism, like you say, you taught to dress. You know, this is what it's supposed to look like. You know, like Pleasantville, the American dream. Dress a certain way, talk a certain way, go to a good school, get a formal education, do all this, do all that. Right. And this is kind of, you know what I'm saying, something I don't really talk about a lot, but I've done all of that. I've dressed the part, talked the talk, walked the walk, did all that, and I still have ended up on the ground with a gun in my head in a police brutality situation. Because guess what the biggest threat is? And, bro, it's my skin. But look.
Right here. It's
but look. Skin. And I remember that night, I remember that night like it was like yesterday. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. I thought out of everybody that was out there, I got this. I know how to move in corporate America. I talk the talk. I walk the walk with the best of them.
You look like everybody else during that. Look,
I'm clean too, boy. I'm clean that night. Look, I had that on. You feel what I'm saying? I'm talking dress shoes. I'm talking about, boy, I'm looking sharp. So I even told everybody out there, I say, hey, when these police officers pull up, I got this. Let me do all the talking, right? Because Greg know how to talk with the best of them. You understand what I'm saying? I'm tried and true, baby. I know how to move in any room. I got this. Before I knew it, I was thrown to the ground.
Telling you, kiss the concrete.
I was thrown to the ground with a knee in the back of my neck and a gun to my head, talking crazy to me. And I'm sitting on the ground. Hey, you ain't got to do all this. I'm trying to make him uncomfortable.
On some Fruitvale Station type stuff.
Really? That's why I don't watch that movie. That's why I don't watch it no more. Because my situation is a little different.
Close call.
You know what I'm saying? To the point to where, like you say, gun to my head. I'm on the ground talking just like, hey, man, I'm trying to explain. We all good people out here, man. Like, I ain't, you know what I'm saying? Blah, blah, blah. And you still, shut up. You still getting treated the same way. That was... And I'm not going to beat the situation, but I would say this. That was eye-opener for me that day because it taught me that it was a reiteration to me that what the biggest threat was because I didn't know. I thought I was doing everything right. I had not been in trouble with the police, whatever. And I'm like, you know what? This is what – I'm built for this type of moment right here because I done achieved so many stuff, things. My education is this. bank account look like this. I live here. I do this. You know what I'm saying? I could talk my way out this situation. And I was treated the same way that somebody with their pants hanging off their butt with no belt, somebody thugging, somebody with a pound and a half of weed on them, somebody that's throwing gangs, whatever. I was treated the same exact way, which showed me that, you know what I'm saying, that my skin was the biggest threat. And I thought I could navigate, and I thought I was so different. But at that moment, that was very humbling for me. You know what I'm saying? And I'll never forget that day.
You skip over that, but I need to go into it just a little bit to give a little, I need to put people in that place, in your place, and whatever you need to do, take the headphones off, whatever. But picture yourself, you as a person, on the ground, lights everywhere, a police officer, grown man, on the back of you, on your back, knee on your neck, back, whatever, gun out. Most people don't even know what it feels like. I've had a gun pointed at me before. I was very little. Gun out, gun pointed at you. You can see the barrel. Picture yourself down on the ground, looking at the ground. Barrel of the gun
on
your head.
Face
on the concrete, the barrel of the gun on the back of your head. And the person who's holding the gun is telling you, kiss the concrete, just talking crazy to you. He's like, in no control of his situation. Anything.
He's scared. He's nervous.
Scared, nervous. Do you understand how you would feel? Just think about that. Just you like at that moment, everything is going past you. Like you thinking of everything. Like you probably could die right there. If he pulled that, only take a couple pounds. If he pulled that trigger, back of your head, you're gone. So that's why we bring up these things. We talk about these things because it's powerful. We talk about the African-American dream because what we hoping for, we hoping to have a seat at the table. What we looking for in our future is that we don't go out and have to put our face on the concrete and have a gun in the back of our head. And we striving to make achievements where we don't have to be doing that. We don't have to go to jail. And the last achievement that I want to talk about is that in our culture, we grow up and we support our mom and daddy, our grandma, whoever is left. They're not often like doing better and retire and doing their own thing. Achievement for me is moving my mom and my grandma to where I am.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I just said?
Yeah.
I put the bill forward to move my mother and grandmother out the ghetto. Stack the racks. Get your folks out the ghetto. That's always been the motto. That's what Gunna said. And I truly believe in that. So that's another one of my achievements. So this is the American dream for me. I got my family. I can go places. I got Astros gear on. I might go to the Astros game. The future is bright. I'm raising my kids. I'm here for them every single day. I'm in their life. I'm not being pulled by no job. And I got achievements. I brought my mom and my grandma here. If they pass away, I have no regrets. I done everything. This is the American dream for me.
right. And that's normal to somebody else. That's not normal where we from.
That's not normal for nobody else. That, like, for us, that's not normal.
I don't know nobody else like me. You the closest to it. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's why we do what we do. Because there's not that long list of people that's doing like that, that's thinking like that.
Yeah.
They don't understand. To some people, they'll be like, that's it? That's what the dream is for you guys.
Man, you don't understand. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
You know, you
understand
know.
What I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying?
Key takeaway.
Let's hit him with the key takeaway. Right. So the key takeaway is nobody is coming to save us. The facts are the facts. Not opinion-based. The facts are the facts. And our history, the thing, is still our reality to this day.
Yeah.
It's just worn differently. Right? The chains are still there.
Yeah.
The bondage is still there. The inequalities are still there. Just they ain't went hidden. Nowhere.
Just a little hidden.
They just hit. It's masked a little different. They put a little
masquerade on it. Yeah.
Put a little seasoning on it. You understand what I'm saying? But we're still trying to fight the good fight. We're still trying to, like you say, be seen, be valued, be appreciated, have ownership. Yeah. We're still trying to, you know, to not get killed.
Yeah.
Right now, it ain't Jim Crow no more, and and there's not a bunch of us swinging from trees or whatever, but there's ways to where we've seen, and these are facts, y'all. That's why I say the facts are the facts. If you get upset about a fact, change it then. And this is how we're going to change it together.
Imagine how you think we feel. We going feel. Through it.
When we turn on the TV and see people get killed and people get off on it and don't go to jail and all that stuff, we see it now more than anyway because it's recorded, right? So the facts are the facts. It's still going on. It's just worn differently. So, but like I said, nobody's coming to save us. Certain things we got to change ourselves. And I think that, you know, the key takeaway from this is it starts by doing stuff like this. What we're talking about now, and applying it to our lives, having healthy conversations with people that are that are willing to have a conversation with you. Yeah. Don't have a conversation with an ignorant person, a closed-minded person. There's going to be conflict there. Yeah. If somebody wants to have an intelligent conversation with you, an open-minded conversation with you, have it with them. Have it with them. You know what I do it all the time. I tell my white counterparts or people that come from a different background than me, be you. I'm going to be me, and we're going to educate each other. That's how we're going to better understand each other and communicate each other. That's how we're going to do that with each other. Don't try to be who you think I am. Don't start trying to talk all hood and whatever, homeboy this. You're going to lose me talking like that. Be yourself, and I'm going to be myself, and we're going to figure this out. And before you know it, you're going to see we're not as different as you think. Don't overthink the conversation piece of it. So that was the key takeaway.
Yep. And then the action item. Here's the action item. Write down your definition of the average American dream. That's the American dream. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then compare it to what you believe the average African American dream is. So your African American dream. So write down the American dream, what you believe that is. Then write down the African American dream, what you believe that is. Chances are you're going to see gaps. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Got to see the gaps.
Yeah. Now, write down two ways you can close the gaps.
Yep.
It's just like that.
Think about it. Break that down, y'all. And I promise you, I don't care if you white, black, purple, blue, Mexican out there, whatever else. We all got an opinion on what we think those definitions are by definition. Okay, look at them. And I guarantee you, if you're being honest with yourself, you know it's not the same. This ain't the first time you done heard that, and you know what you know. We all living in this world. You know it's not the same. But write down two things, like you said, that you can do to close those gaps.
Yep.
Or that we can do as a people to close those gaps. And in your everyday life, I challenge every person that's listening to act on that. Act on those two things that you see with that gap. And do what you can, that little piece that you can play, because we all can play it, right? So if let's just say, for example, and then I'm going to wrap it with this. Let's say if you're like, one of the gaps is communication. Okay, learn how to be a better communicator with somebody that come from a different walk of life than you. Make that a goal for yourself. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? That white coworker or person on my team or neighbor or whatever, I'm going to actually go to lunch.
Yeah.
Or that neighbor that you never talked to that look different than you, I'm going to walk down there and ask him how he doing today.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just asking him how he doing today. I'm a commend him on his pickup truck or his lawn or how well-behaved his children are. Yeah. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or just get to know him as a neighbor. Invite him down to watch the game. You know what I'm saying? Figure out a common place like where you can meet somebody at on that level. You understand what I'm saying? Because people watch sports or whatever else. Right. Or let's say if you got a neighbor that golf and you don't golf, go down there, ask him a little bit about the game. Ask him, can you tag along one day? Especially if you've got interest in it. You mind teaching me? You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. Like, so those type of things, y'all, is what I'm saying. And I think if we all do that a little bit more in our day-to-day lives, over time, we'll see what we say we want, the change we want to see.
Yeah.
But we got to be active. You can't sit back and just, what's faith without works? You understand what I'm saying? So that's the African-American dream. And I hope everybody turned their speakers up. I hope everybody turned their way of thinking up, opened their ears and their minds. You understand what I'm saying? Because, you know, just, you know, it took a lot. And a lot of people want to talk about this stuff, bro. But they don't because they're scared or they don't know how to express it. But I feel like with us walking into our purpose and living our purpose, God's put us in a position to be able to have these conversations that maybe others can't. You understand what I'm saying? Because we're very passionate. We are two proud professionals, two proud fathers, two proud black men. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm super black. Do you understand what I'm saying, bro? Million Man March black, like, on that type, but I'm not.
You're not racist.
I'm not at all. Do you understand what I'm saying? Come on, man. Like, but I'm woke and I'm conscious. So guess what? Because I've opened my mind, I can't even tell you how many people that I've talked to, like colleagues of mine that are white, that have been in situations where they may about to fire two different employees or something because they think it's a racial issue. And I had to break it down. They tell me the facts and I sit in the room. I was like, that's not race. We're not going to pull the race card on that one. That's not race. That person, that's cultural differences. Where you say so-and-so from? That's probably how they talk over there. That had nothing to do with that person. Now, that person needs to know that they can't talk like that in the workplace because that's offensive, right? There's worth the conversation, but termination right now? No. Now, we should document this. Now, if it happens again, there becomes a pattern, then we can follow those steps. But I don't think that that was off the bat racist. I've had conversations with some of our friends. Hey, bro, I ain't get the job, man, because I'm black. I like, what the job say? What's the requirements of the job? I'm like, bro, you don't even meet any of the bare minimum requirements for the job. That ain't got nothing to do with you, black. You don't meet the bare minimum requirements, fool. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's not that. You understand what I'm saying? So when you open your, what I'm getting at is, when you open your mind, you'll be able to have certain conversations, healthy dialogue, healthy conflict. Do you understand what I'm saying? And argue it the right way. We the perfect mix between, I always tell people, the perfect mix between Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. You're going to get them vibes from both of us. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get that vibes from both of us. I understand peace. I understand being politically correct and all that. But there's always that Malcolm X side of it too, where, you know.
You got to fight for your right.
You got to, hey. And we can, it's. But guess what? It takes both. Takes both. So, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, man, I'm going to give it back to the people, man. But we do appreciate having these conversations. We appreciate the people that come give us feedback. We're looking forward to the live session and digging into this with the people. But make sure you share this. Show this to your youngin. Show this to your elder. You watch it. Slow down. Look at it a couple times. Think about some of the stuff that we're saying. Because it's true. These are real experiences. These are things that we're opening up ourselves. We think about it. We have to open it up ourselves to tell these truths, our background, stuff we don't talk about every day, stuff I don't talk to nobody about. But we're putting it out there now because we feel like we can connect with the people and it's going to make somebody out there better. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, without further ado, make sure, like I said, you share this, you like, you share, you subscribe. Catch us on all platforms. Catch the live sessions. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, this IOU Redemption. And this was the African-American dream. It's your boy G White.
Big speaker. Let your light shine. Right.